This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a review of major human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. The United Nations recently passed a resolution highlighting the ongoing human rights crisis in Iran and calling for the government to allow the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Iran to enter the country and monitor ongoing abuses. But does this resolution actually represent new hope for Iran, or will things just be business as usual? In today's podcast, we'll be speaking with Dohi Fasihan from United for Iran, a global network of activists fighting for human rights in the country. Over the past 10 years, she's participated in policy research and analysis, has been active in human rights and democracy promotion strategies at the United Nations, and has participated in numerous discussions with the UN Human Rights Council. Can you give us a bit of background to this resolution?
This is an annual resolution on the human rights situation in Iran. It dates back to the mid-80s, and with a very few exceptions, it's been passed almost every single year since the mid-80s, I think since 1985. And this past resolution that was just adopted by a committee last week drew one of the highest vote counts since the whole period. I mean, I think I look back since 1992, at least since 1992, it was the highest vote count. I mean, we saw something like 21 countries change their vote in a positive direction this year from last year, and that's pretty significant.
What do you think is behind the shift?
One is a lack of improvement in the situation inside the country, and I think there's a global consensus that the situation is quite serious. But two, also a lack of cooperation by the Iranian government. The Iranian government has failed to allow any UN special procedure come to the country and visit since 2005. And UN special procedures are there because they're monitoring human rights situations around the world. Their job is to regularly visit different countries and report on situations.
So what are the practical implications of this resolution passing?
It's not a binding document by any sense, but still it does express the opinion of the global community. And so it does increase pressure on the Iranian government to respond. You know, we are very hopeful that the Iranian government will respond positively in the coming months. So, you know, it's just a matter of continuing, you know, to try to pressure the Iranian government.
So at the moment, do you think that the UN is our best bet for applying external pressure to the country?
I think the UN is a good forum in the sense that it's a multilateral forum, and I think the Iranian government needs to hear from the international community in a multilateral way that there's concern about the human rights situation. Unfortunately, Iran is not a member of any sort of regional forum that would be able to pressure the country to meet its international human rights obligations. And different regional fora have their degree of effectiveness, whether it's the Organization of American States or the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe or the EU. I mean, there are different regional fora, and I think these regional fora are becoming stronger and are being more effective. I mean, right now we see the Arab League actually taking human rights initiatives with regard to Syria, which is really unprecedented, and it's a very positive sign. Iran is not a member of the Arab League. It's not an Arab country. It's not a member, and there's no Middle East sort of regional fora or sort of large or Asian regional fora. So Iran's kind of in a no man's land when it comes to sort of human rights mechanisms.
True to form, the Iranian delegate was quick to defend his country's human rights record and criticized the UN's procedure for drafting the document. This is the voice of Mohammad Javad Larijani, Secretary General of Iran's High Council for Human Rights.
Besides serious and fundamental procedural flaws in this unfortunate trend, the substance of the resolution is absolutely unfounded and shameful fabrication of baseless allegations and totally preposterous. For crafting baseless allegations, when one do not feel any limit, and I wonder why they did not include more than 1,000 allegations. especially if no degree of professionality is required. One can submit impressive documents even with vulgar language.
Despite the government's efforts to suppress information, we're all still very aware of the human rights abuses in Iran. Iran is also not as isolated as other countries with a comparable human rights track record. Where are we failing to help change the situation?
The international community needs to speak with one voice on the human rights situation in Iran, namely the nuclear issue that is sort of eclipsing the human rights issue in Iran. And it's really important that the international community understands that for Iranian citizens, the human rights situation and the human rights issue is just as important, and in many ways more important for them. And so we need to make sure that we're dealing with it effectively and that we're speaking with one voice. And I think once we do that, we might even see more cooperation from the Iranian government. Right now, the Iranian government is playing a game which is pretty transparent, you know, sort of on the one hand saying that they are cooperating with international human rights mechanisms when all of us know that they're not cooperating. And then internally inside the country, they're attacking the special rapporteur that was just recently appointed, and they're mobilizing state resources to attack the special rapporteur. So they're playing a deceptive game of, yes, we're cooperating, but the reality is they're not cooperating. And I think what we need to say is you don't get to define what cooperation is. There is a definition for cooperation, and cooperation means that you work with international and UN mechanisms, that you recognize that violations are taking place, that you allow these mechanisms to come into the country and work with the government to try to improve the situation. That is cooperation. So I think if we can say that to the Iranian government and hold them to that, then I think we can make some progress.
That was Dohi Fasihan of United for Iran. For more on their work, you can go to unitedforiran.org. Make sure you enter the number 4 when you type it in. That's all for this edition. For more on this story and other human rights news, as well as to view a copy of the resolution we've been discussing, you can visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening. ¶¶